Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Our world believes that when it comes to knowing anything about God, only one thing is certain, that nothing is certain, that you cannot say anything about God with complete confidence. Borrowing the language of the Declaration of Independence, most people these days believe that Christianity is just one choice among many because all religions are created equal. And it's true, under our free democracy, the law gives equal protection to those who practice different religions. But that, my friends, does not make all religions equal. Religious freedom merely gives people the right to be wrong about the God they worship and the religion they choose. Our postmodern culture believes that all religions are equal, but only in an inferior sense. The postmodernist believes that every religion is equally incompetent to actually show us the way to God and to address human needs. Our postmodern culture prides itself on preaching religious tolerance, and it accepts even the most bizarre expressions of religious forms. And that's why the one thing our pluralistic culture simply cannot tolerate are these words of Jesus, where he says in our gospel lesson today, "I am the way, I am the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Our unbelieving world stumbles on these words of Jesus, just because they are so definitive and so certain. The world has convinced itself, you see, that it cannot know God and the truth because there is no God and no truth. Now, as citizens living in a free nation, we should be tolerant and respectful of the rights of others, no matter what they want to believe. And yet we are bound by a higher vow as Christians who have the true God in Jesus Christ. For we are obligated to have no other gods than He. We are obligated not to bend on Christian doctrine, nor to blur those things that makes Christianity distinct so that we simply blend in with the faith of others. In reality, it is out of great disrespect for religion that the postmodern world views religions as equal. For behind their call for religious tolerance is the belief that all religions are equal, all right. They are equally inadequate to address the important needs of humanity. One of the things that characterizes our postmodern age is this idea that somehow you and I get to choose our own personalized version of God, to select what we want God to say, guided by our preferences. But much to the contrary, Jesus says, "You did not choose me, but I have chosen you." That is, you do not get to choose the truth. The truth chooses you. You do not get to pick and choose the parts of Christianity which are palatable to you, like you might select food choices off a smorgasbord buffet. Postmodern truth amounts to this: we can hardly call it truth, because it tells us that whatever you want to be true about God becomes true for you. But from the biblical point of view, our simply wanting something to be true does not make it true. We may want everyone to be in heaven, but the Bible says that will not happen without faith in Jesus Christ. And conversely, whether anyone chooses to believe it or not, does not negate the objective fact that Jesus alone is the way to God and the truth about God and the life lived for God, and that no one will come to the Father except through faith in Him. Now, our culture thinks differently. It has made up its mind that you cannot prove any religion to be true or truer than another religion, at least according to its secular methods of measurement. And so truth is no longer even the criteria by which our culture chooses its religions. The categories have shifted dramatically since you and I were children. It no longer matters whether your religious point of view is true and has any kind of foundation, but only that you find your religious beliefs to be personally helpful and pragmatically useful on a daily basis in helping you cope with life. Now, there are some of us who resist these postmodern ideas, who still believe in an objective religious truth, who still believe in moral absolutes. And the sad part is now we are being maligned and compared with those terrorists of 9/11 who kill people who differ with them on religious matters. Hatred and violence are said to be the inevitable consequence of anyone who takes religion or religious truth too seriously. And that's why most liberal Christians consider conservative Christianity not only to be wrong, but actually to be dangerous. And you know as well as I do that whatever is considered dangerous will one day be outlawed. And so you can just imagine what our culture thinks of Jesus and his exclusive claim found in the gospel lesson today, that he is the truth, that he is the way and the life, and not merely a way and a truth and a life among many other religious ways and truths and lives. And this is why our scriptures say that Christ is that stone that makes men stumble. He is that rock that makes them fall. For at least according to the postmodern mindset, you cannot help but trip and fall over these words of Jesus when he says, "No one will reach the Father except through me." Now, many out there today who call themselves Christians simply try to ignore or reinterpret these words of our Lord, but you cannot evade God's word that easily. For it says so many places in Scripture the same thing, that you can only expect to be in heaven by believing in Jesus. Many modern liberal apostate churches are frankly embarrassed by this text, that Jesus would declare that he is the way and the truth and the life. And the kicker is that no one can reach the Father, that is heaven, except through him. Many people believe that any person with a sincere religious conviction will eventually make it to heaven. But our Lord's words contradict that and should cause those people to pause and to rethink their religious conclusions. But it's hard, because these days there are many liberal denominations posing as Christian that are universalist. And what I mean by that is they believe that all religions, whether you are Hindu or Buddhist or Mormon or Jewish or Christian, know the same God only by a different name. Their assumption is that all religious roads, no matter how diverse, lead people to the same destination, which is heaven. But listen closely again to what our Lord Jesus says. I am the way and the truth and the life, and you will not reach the Father but by me. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is claiming that he is God's only truth revealed, and that Christianity is the only saving faith. That embarrasses some Christians and it angers others. Most are not brave enough to attack Christ or his words directly, so instead they attack those of us who believe and teach and confess this faithfully in our lives, who do believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, who do believe that he is the only truth of God revealed, and who do believe that his is the only life worth living. We've known these words for years, and we wonder, why do people stumble over them? And I'll tell you why. Because it is a great insult and injury to human pride and arrogance to teach this doctrine that Jesus is the only one in heaven and on earth that can save them. You see, natural man without the Spirit of God wants to believe that he is saved, that he is entitled to God's love, because he's a good person, because he's merited it, because he's earned it, because he's worthy of it, because of his performance. And so far too many assume that they will be in heaven simply because, for some unexplainable reason, they believe they are entitled and God owes them heaven. And armed with that arrogant assumption, they will meet their doom when they come before God at the final judgment and are shocked to find out that they are turned away and cast into the eternal fire of hell. For the Bible repeatedly says what Jesus has said in our text today, that there is only one hope, and that there is no other hope of getting to heaven outside of the faith in the accomplished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But you know, it's become more complicated than that, than merely trying to distinguish between Christianity and other world religions. Because today there is a new group of people who have grown up alienated from the church, but that still consider themselves to be Christians. even though they have left the church and rarely read the words of Christ. They talk about spirituality far more than they talk about Christianity. And yet they retain some of the traditional elements of the Christian faith. And they use language, Christian language, that we're familiar with. They say they believe in Jesus, but it is their imagination that creates a version of Jesus that bears little resemblance to the biblical Christ. This new trend in spirituality has been witnessed many times in many places, but recently I witnessed it on Oprah. Oprah has become sort of this religious guru of this kind of fuzzy, feel-good, postmodern spirituality. Now, I never watch Oprah, but a few weeks ago I was channel surfing and I caught just a few minutes of it. And in those few minutes, I was shocked to hear Oprah say this, that she is a Christian who grew up believing that Jesus died for her sins. But since she has grown up spiritually to understand that Jesus came for something much more important than dying for her sins, that Jesus came to affirm us in our humanity, whatever that nonsense means. I like Oprah, and I would very much like to tell her, if I were ever to meet her, that there is no spirituality apart from Christ and his cross. There is no thing that is higher or holier. There is no hidden wisdom that's found in Scripture greater than what Paul says. For after the resurrection, he says, "This, my friends, is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." But we are living in a time much like the days of the early church, before Christianity gained social acceptance or political protections. Think back to the Roman Empire, how they conquered and subjugated many nations and peoples both before and after the time of Christ. The Romans are like modern Americans. They were religious pluralists. They were very tolerant of all kinds of religious viewpoints and ideas. In fact, the Romans were so open to suggestion that they often incorporated the religious views of those countries they captured and brought them into their own understanding of the gods. And perhaps that's why they had so many gods. But there was one thing that offended Roman sensibilities regarding religion, that caused them to torture and execute Christians. And that was this: Christianity's exclusive claim that there is no other God and Lord but Jesus. Rome could tolerate any and every version of religion except for this exclusive claim that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, and that no one has the true God without him. Well, my friends, we have come full circle in world history, and we are back to those times. For we live in a time when people are more open and more accepting than ever to every form of spirituality. What they do not have any tolerance for is a biblical Christianity which repeats the words of Jesus with faith, which tells the world that there is no way to heaven, that there is no truth about God, and there is no life with the Father apart from Jesus Christ. Now, I want to tell you, when Jesus spoke those words, he did not say it to be snotty or snobby. Jesus, in the context, was saying these words to comfort the troubled hearts of his friends and his followers. You see, the disciples were greatly troubled when Jesus began to speak of his death and of going away to prepare a place for them in heaven. As he spoke about his impending death on the cross, through which he would prepare that place in heaven, the disciples panicked. And Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, you're scaring us. We don't know where you're going. And how can we know the way?" Now, Thomas probably had something more in mind, like a roadmap to heaven. But Jesus assures Thomas that Thomas already knew how to get to heaven, just by knowing and believing in God's Son sent from heaven as the way to heaven. And so I would like to tell you that Christianity only seems exclusive to those who want no part in what God is offering them freely in Jesus. In reality, Jesus, when he said these words, intended to be inclusive. He wanted to bring many, many, many people, perhaps everyone, into the kingdom. And this is why he declares, "I am the way and the truth and the life." Because Jesus was calling every man, every woman, every child to believe in him and be saved. I think postmodern thought sounds a lot like Thomas as he asks, "Lord, how can we know the way?" Because postmodernism is an age of doubt. It's an age of despair, of great cynicism regarding all religion. In fact, the mantra of our postmodern times is, "Lord, how can we know anything about anything?" And this, my friends, is where you have words to bring eternal life and hope to those you know. You have words that bring joy and conviction and confidence to your heart. For by these words, "I am the way and the truth and the life," Jesus means to comfort you. He means to create faith in you and to assure you that you do know God, that you do know with certainty the way to heaven, the truth about religion, and the life that God lived in exchange for your life. My friends, so many times Jesus said, "Peace be with you," or "Do not be afraid," or "Do not let your hearts be troubled." Never have those words been more appropriate than in our postmodern age, an era of the world that is filled with so much anxiety and uncertainty. But we do not have to be like the world, because we have good news about God to share. And unapologetically, the Christian message stands out as hopeful above all others, because we are reminded by Jesus that he is the way we get to heaven, that he is the true God who reveals God's love and mercy to us, and that it was his life exchanged on the cross that gives us all the confidence in this peace. May God grant you faith to believe that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and that you will be in heaven through faith in him. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in the faith, the life everlasting. Amen.